All right, just remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Again, a good song, and I'm glad not only he loved me, but he loves me. Amen. That's how that song says it. He still does, and I'm glad that he does. He loves me so. Amen. That's what it said. And I thank God for the great love. And that goes along with the song that Sister Woodard sang there. He paid the debt. Amen. Because he loved me. Hebrews chapter number 10, familiar for one particular verse. That's not the verse I'm going to read. And not the verse I'm going to preach on. But it's familiar for verse number 25, probably specifically. There's a lot of good things in it talking about church attendance. I believe that it's very appropriate. But I want to jump down to verse number 32 of the scripture here. I want to read from verse 32 down through the end of the chapter. And I don't really think I'll be necessarily long this morning. I'm going to try to break the message up and preach some more of it tonight. And so give you the thought this morning, if I can, to get us started. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, and I'll read down through verse number 39. The Bible says, "But call to remembrance the former days." Let me find my place. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the reading. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for our God, how great thou truly art, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the giving of your life, the shedding of your blood.
Yes.
Laying it down and taking up again, that sinners such as us might know you, Lord, and might enjoy the blessings of heaven.
Yes.
I certainly want to thank you, Lord, for my family, for the surprise on yesterday, and how good it was just to fellowship with them again.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for those that are here in the house of God this morning. I pray you bless and help them, help us, the family, help the church family, help our preachers, he preaches to us. Bless the entire nation. Give divine grace.
Yep.
Thank you for that. We pray, Lord, for those that are not here, Lord, Lindsay, we ask you to touch her, Lord, physically and help her. Give her healing to her body. We thank you for doing that. Bless you in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Well, for my message, I mentioned verse 25 being famous. Really, verse number 37 should be a famous verse.
Amen.
"For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and shall not tarry." Amen. Verse 38 ought to be a special verse. "Now the just shall live by faith." But I want to preach primarily, take my text out of verse 36, that phrase, "For ye have need of patience." I want to preach on the need of patience in the Christian life. And I said I won't be able to cover it all today. I'll have to preach this in segments. So if you will, have patience with me. Amen. But when we think about the fact you have need, that may be some people's favorite verse. I mean, the husband quotes that to the wife, "Ye have need of patience." And the wife quotes it back to the husband, "Ye have need of patience." But the truth is, that word "ye" includes everybody. Especially, and I believe the writer, probably Paul, the writer is referring to saints, If you notice the context that I read it in, he's talking about the former days. Remember the former days when you first got saved and the struggles and the trials that you went through. And he brings them up through that. And he says, you need patience. You need patience. So I want to deal with that this morning. And as I said, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to just look at these verses expository, deal with them one at a time and even in groups together. But look at them here just a little bit this morning and zero in on that phrase and that thought about the need of patience in the Christian life. Probably we'd all have to admit that we certainly have need of patience. Some of us may be such a stranger to patience, it would do us good to define the word. So I looked it up in the dictionary. The Encarta Dictionary of North America says this: patience is defined as, quote, capacity for waiting. Amen. Amen. I used to love to go to Burger King. Of course, you can tell by looking at me. But I used to love to go to Burger King because Burger King has more waiters than any other restaurant I've ever been in. Everybody's standing there waiting. More waiters. But here's the point. That he told it, capacity. We deal with it. Capacity for waiting. You know what he's talking about? Patience. It's talking about the fact that you're not jumping line. You're not pushing people aside. You're not storming. You're not fuming. You're not even complaining. You have a capacity for waiting. You say, preacher, you're right. We have need of patience. Amen. I read on to capacity for waiting, the ability to endure waiting, delay. You ever been there? Light didn't turn red quick enough, didn't turn green quick enough. And then when it did, the fellow in front of you didn't take off quick enough. Amen. When my kids were small, we had a preacher preach for us at Vision, and he talked about trying people's patience. That was his, he used the phrase, trying people's patience. And he said, when you pull up beside somebody at a red light, and you're sitting there waiting, he said, just ease forward a little bit and stop, and see if they'll run the red light 9 times out of 10. Because they see you start. Now you got to be careful for the fellow behind you. Because he's coming too. Amen. But so when he told that story, and so every time we pull up beside somebody to red light, my kids say, try his patience, Daddy, try his patience. Amen. Well, the capacity for waiting, the ability to endure waiting and delay, or listen to this, the ability to endure provocation without becoming annoyed or upset. To persevere calmly when faced with difficulties. Now, buddy, that we could preach on that for months. The ability when you're provoked to not get angry. The ability to not get upset or even annoyed, but to persevere calmly when faced with difficulties. So that's what the dictionary said that English word meant. I looked up what the Greek word was that was used here. In this epistle, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, according to it, the word used here is number 5281, and it's found 32 times in the King James Bible, by the way. And here's what it means. Oh my, this is even worse than what the dictionary said. It means cheerful or hopeful endurance. Not just not getting mad, but waiting with a smile. Cheerful. Even hopeful endurance. It's translated in our King James Bible. It's translated enduring, patience, patient continuance, and waiting. In the Authorized Version of the Bible. Well, we can see from the dictionary and from the concordance that this word means enduring and it means waiting. It has those things tied together with it. These are two very closely related characteristics. And I believe two very important aspects in the Christian life, to be able to endure and to be able to wait. Have a little patience. Amen. In studying the subject, my plan for this sermon is to look at our initial text and do, as I said, a verse by verse look at it and give us an introduction to the topic. And also I'm looking at the context of our subject right here before us today in these verses, the context. So in order to encourage these believing Hebrews. The writer here, of course, inspired by the Holy Ghost, the writer referred them back to their beginning when they first got in the family of God. And so look back again at verse number 32 where we began reading, and look at verse 32 and 33 together. He says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions to them that were so used." So he reminds them that they had a good beginning. When they got in the family of God, they were excited to be in the family. Amen. Now they've started learning each other. And they're getting on each other's nerves. Now they're glad to get in the family, and they're expecting to go to heaven on the next bus, but now they've been here a while. And troubles have come, and Jesus hasn't come. And if I could say it, they're getting weary and well-doing. They're losing patience. Patience with the Lord, patience with others around them. And so he reminds them, you need to look back. You remember how you got in, how excited you was just to be in the family. Remember how glad you was just to be saved from your sins. Amen. Can I tell you, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, if you're saved, you're still just as saved as you ever was. No need to cuss, just praise God. Amen. That's right. Don't lose patience with that fella. Your faith and hope's not built in him anyway. Amen. When somebody does you wrong, and they will, by the way, people will do you wrong in this world. Matter of fact, some will do you wrong in the house of God sometimes. Amen. 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 But when they do, listen, remember that your hope's not built on them. Amen. Your eternal life is not based on them. Therefore, why let this life be so consumed by them? Amen. Amen. Just trust the Lord. Amen. Learn to trust God, and if I could say it, have a little patience. Amen. Have a little patience with people. So these verses 32 and 33, speak about how well they set out, how bravely they endured, and how bravely they behaved. They had afflictions immediately upon them. You know, these Hebrew believers, Jewish believers, were considered turncoats by their own family. They were not only reproached by the Roman government, they were reproached by their own Jewish government, by their own religious officials. They had afflictions and reproaches that they bore. Amen. Then he mentions their being companions of others that were afflicted. They found themselves no longer agreed or agreeable with that crowd out there, but they found a crowd that were brothers and sisters. They found a group of people that did have the same ideas and faced the same conflicts. And so they became companions with others that were so afflicted. Now, again, I say these early Christians were greatly persecuted, both by the heathens around them and even by their own religious relatives. You probably have faced some of that, haven't you? I'm sure many of you have. Some may not have, but many of you have faced the fact that the heathens, those fellows that used to drink with you, now they're no longer friends. They used to want to hang around. They used to want you to be with them all the time. Now they don't want to see you. They drop their head. They look the other way. They'll cross the street to keep from having to see you and confront you, because they're no longer considered friends. Amen. Family members that wanted you to get saved and quit your worldliness, now all of a sudden they didn't want you to be a fanatic about it. Amen. They didn't want you to go off the deep end and start calling them out about their sins and their wickedness. Amen. Well, he's saying to them, remember that. And remember how that caused you to unite with that assembly of the saints and find that assembly so joyful. Find that assembly so helpful and so needful. That fellowship with true believers was so sweet because you'd just been thrust out into a new life and a new world. Amen. And he says it became an important aspect of your life. Amen. You remember the days when you looked forward to going to the house of God. Amen. When you just couldn't wait for Sunday to get here. Seemed like it so long from Sunday night to Wednesday night. Amen. And if the preacher called for revival, praise God, I hope we have 20 this year. Maybe not. But but you're excited about having revival meetings and excited about those special things. And then after a while, if you're not careful, those things get old hat. And we lose that feeling, that enthusiasm. And so the writer here reminds them to go back to that. And I believe he's saying to them that the Holy Ghost is reminding them the storms they faced and how that they endured in those early days. He's reminding them, you can hang in there and you can make it through this storm too. Amen. He reminds them of the great fight of afflictions. That's the phrase that he used, which they endured. These afflictions were both spiritual, the demons coming after them, the devils coming after them, and physical. Amen. And by the way, when you get saved, and I believe the days we're living in are demonic days, and I believe it's going to get worse till Jesus comes. But when you got saved, whatever sin had a hold of you, the devil didn't turn loose gladly. Amen. Still reached after you and clutched after you, and by the good grace of God, maybe you were able to sever all those ties, but yet the devil didn't give up easily. He was still after you. The Bible calls that a great fight of afflictions. He said, you endured that. And so he's telling them, hang in there. So there were spiritual and physical battles. There were psychological and I'll say mental, these mental things that play on your mind. And then there were these material struggles as their stuff was confiscated. They came and took their things away from them. Amen. And when you got saved, maybe there's some things God took away from you. Your wardrobe changed. Your activities, your attractions, your entertainments, all kinds of things changed. Was taken away from you, not confiscated by the authorities, but rather you realized that it was not helpful. It was actually harmful, and so you had to change your life. And you saw, but there's a great fight of affliction sometimes involved in that very thing. Amen. So he reminds them of their new alliance with these believers in verse 33, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them that were so used. And so here's what he's saying. He said, not only were you going through it, but your brethren were going through it as well. You saw others that were facing those things or that would be facing those things, and you were there to encourage and strengthen them as well as to draw strength from them all. And then that association with the believers progressed on to the next verse, that it gave them a new allegiance to the men of God that had preached the word of God to them faithfully. Look at verse number 43. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. Now that, by the way, is one of the reasons why I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. And I could show you others. I won't argue with you, but Paul was in bonds and they had compassion upon him. This apostle says that. For ye had compassion of me and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Amen. So he says, you had such respect and honor for the men of God that had faithfully preached the truth to you and to others that you were willing to give, even out of your poverty, you were willing to give and have compassion that we might continue on and God might use us for His glory and His honor. Amen. They had compassion on this apostle when he's in bonds. They had cheerfully suffered the loss of their own goods, not only by being confiscated by the Roman officials, not only by being taken by their family, but they willingly gave up even what they had left that they might help the furtherance of the gospel. That's the idea that he's doing here. You know how come they did that? Because they knew they had a better and a more enduring substance. In heaven, amen. Their treasures were not laid up on this earth, amen. That's why Colossians say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not those things which are on the earth. Amen. Set your eyes on heaven. Our Lord said it this way. Our Lord talked about lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. Amen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. So it appears that these early Christians were willing to give and to help these others as they spread that gospel. Notice that last phrase of verse 34. And I want to zero on that just a minute, then I'm moving on. But verse number 34, that last phrase says, knowing in yourselves. By the way, you got a witness in yourself. Holy Spirit is the witness. Amen. The Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us that this world's not our home. We don't belong down here. Don't get too attached to this place. Amen. Amen. I could say a lot of things there, but he says, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. You see, the Holy Ghost then apparently not only wanted to remind them of their past, but he wanted to remind them of their future. Amen. Not only you got in this thing, it's a good thing when you got in. He says it's going to end up good too. Amen. There might be a little struggle in here, but he said it started out good and it's going to end up even better. Amen. Hallelujah. He reminds them of the glorious future that waits for those who have an enduring faith. He reminds them of that future reward, that it is both better and it is more enduring than the things that are on this earth. Amen. It's better than anything that we might receive here on this earth. Our reward is more than a dream. Our reward is substance. That's the word he uses. Amen. It is substance. In other words, there is something factual. There is something material. There is something real about the reward that's waiting on us on the other side. Amen. Heaven's not just a pipe dream. Heaven's not a pie in the sky idea, something somebody made up. Amen. Heaven's a real place. By the good grace of God, we can get there through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so, he caps it off by saying this, verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now, he's talked about the reward. He's talking about endurance. So now he said, listen, don't throw all that away. Not that they could lose their salvation, but they could lose their reward. That's what he's talking about. Not that you could throw off salvation, but you can throw off your confidence. You're no longer living for tomorrow. You're living for today. Matter of fact, that goes back to Brother Bale's lesson in Sunday school this morning. The world's full of people that couldn't care less about tomorrow. Eat, drink, and be merry today, for tomorrow we die. They're living today as if this is all there is. And they better hope this is all there is. Amen. But it ain't all there is. There's not only a heaven, there's a hell. Amen. And it's real. But he says, don't throw these things away. Now think about this. He's reminded them where they came from. He's reminded them of the struggles they came through to get there, or when they got there. He's reminded them of the help they've been to others. And he said, don't throw all that away. He said, you're in danger of throwing your testimony away. You're in danger of wrecking all that you said, all that you stood for, all that you said you believed. He said, there's a possibility you could throw it all away by just living for today. Amen. Throw it all. And so what he said, you'll never reach your lost family members by getting down to where they're at. Amen. You gotta keep your mind on Christ. You gotta keep looking to Him if you're ever gonna have any ability to help anybody else, because He is what they need. Amen. I can say a lot of things along those lines, but He's reminded them that their testimony is at stake. He reminds them that their kingdom rewards are at stake. And by the way, I personally believe this is one of the places that the devil targets in the life of believers, especially young believers. Early believers, people that haven't believed that long. Is this. He zeroes in and puts the target, the bullseye, on their confidence. He says, yea, hath God said. He starts bringing into question the Word of God. Do you really believe that old book? Do you really believe what that says? Don't you know there are error after error after error? And you, surely you can't trust what that book says. He's zeroing in on the confidence that people have. But not only that, there's a lot of people that they say, oh yeah, I believe the King James Bible. It's my book. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover. Amen. And they go on talking, you know, they're just based on that. But in reality, they're not living for God. They're not looking for heaven. They're anchoring down right here. And they're enjoying things right here, because they have cast away their confidence. Amen. They have lost their confidence in the things of God. Now, I don't know what they might stand on. The devil tried to get you to stand on the shifting sands of science. You know science has proved the Bible wrong? No, it hasn't. I read just the other day in a news article that said this, that some, and it was a Jewish scientist that had, they were trying to explain how the sun stood still in Joshua's day. And here's what they said. They said that word stood still is a bad translation. Well, that ought to tell you right there they're in trouble. They said that word translated in other places in maybe in the Septuagint and then in other modern versions means to be darkened. They said the sun didn't stop. They said there was a total eclipse that day. Now, historically, they said they could prove that there was a total eclipse between the year 1500 B.C. They got a 500-year range. And they know what day it happened on. But anyway, long story short, they said that eclipse came and that's all that happened was just that the sun didn't stand still, the sun was just darkened. By the way, eclipses don't last all day long. Amen. And in spite of that, if it was just an eclipse that lasted, he still hadn't explained all those hailstones that killed all them soldiers. Amen. That hit thousands of those enemy soldiers and missed all the saints of Israel. Amen. But here's my point. They try to explain away the Bible. Truth is, science does not explain away the Bible. The Bible explains science. I know they say, well, now that book's not a science book. No, but everything in that book's right. Amen. 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 So then science, philosophy, education, opinion, emotion, whatever you want to stand on, besides the Word of God, if the devil can get you there, he's got you on shifting sand. And he knows he can pull the rug out from under you. Amen. Because it's shifting sand that you're standing on. He wants to destroy your confidence. Here's what you got to maintain confidence in: the Word of God. You got to maintain confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that still saves men from their sin. Amen. That's the only thing that can help them is the gospel. We got to maintain confidence in those things in order to live for God and glorify Him. No matter what others say, no matter how we feel, amen, we got to stand with the truth of the Word of God. I believe that's right. Well, we see the apostle here teaching them to endure these trials that come along by serving Christ. It brings us our special verse number 36. He says, "For ye have need of patience." He's talking about hanging on to your confidence now and enduring these trials. "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." So here's, I believe, verse 36 says, patience is necessary. Patience is not an option. It's a necessity. We got to have it. That's what he's saying. Amen. It is right to exercise this patience when the sufferings for Christ's sake comes along. Amen. Amen. When we're doing the will of God, that is the will of God, by the way, for us to suffer patiently. Amen. Can I give you an illustration? Jacob was in the hospital room yesterday evening, and Lindsay was in there before Jim and them and Amanda showed up, and they talked about how bravely that Lindsay took that needle. Not just once, but twice. Elizabeth said she's expecting her to be screaming and climbing the walls. Said she just laid her arm out there and looked the other way. I told her, I said, "You took it like a man, didn't you?" And she said, "Yeah, huh?" Amen. But you know what made her mama proud? It made her daddy proud. Well, I didn't say proud, but made them happy. It was good news to me that she took it patiently. Amen. What good does it do to kick and scream and carry on? I tell you what it does. It makes the blood flow and it makes everything go everywhere when they can't hold you still to get the needle in. It don't help things, is what I'm saying. It helps. Have a little patience. Amen. Well, it's right to exercise patience when we're suffering for Christ's sake, because it is the will of God. Amen. He says, after that's done, He said we're going to receive a promise, that promised happiness in the kingdom, that reward that is to come with eternal bliss with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I believe it is clearly stating that every Christian needs real patience to endure the troubles and the trials that's going to come their way. We're living in a fallen world. We got to cling to our hope. We got to cling to our confidence. We got to cling to the promise of a better life than this. And by the way, Mr. Trump made all the promises. He didn't flinch to say he's going to fix everything. And he can't fix everything. I hope he does well. I hope God blesses him. And amen. I hope that he does well. Our nation certainly needs some help. No doubt about that. But Mr. Trump can't fix it. Republican Congress, Republican Senate can't fix it. Amen. The point I'm making is this. We've got a promise we can cling to that's not just a political promise. We've got a promise that's not just made so that we will accept Him or vote for Him. We've got promises that are steadfast and sure, the Bible says. Amen. You know what we got to do? We got to cling to those promises when it looks like the rug is jerked out from under us. When it looks like that everything is falling apart all around us. We got to cling to those promises. Every Christian needs that. Amen. Whether you're a mother or a father, whether you're a pastor or a member, no matter what your situation is, there's times you'll look around you and you'll think, oh my goodness, everything is collapsing around me. No hope for the future. No hope for my next breath. I don't know how I'm going to make it from here. Amen. You ever feel that way? The devil do his best to attack you in that very angle. We've got to hang on to the promises of the Word of God. And so he moves from this clearly stating that every Christian needs patience. That once we've done the will of God, we can receive that promise. What is the will of God? Apparently the will of God is for us to suffer. And to do it with patience. Amen. And then he reminds us in verse 37... that it won't always be like this. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming, praise God. Amen. He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is coming. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he is coming. Amen. And so he says to these believers, in order to give them even more encouragement, in order to help them engage in this exercise of patience and obtaining patience and hanging on to patience, we're reminded that it's just a little while on God's calendar. It's just a little while. It may be the next page is turned. It may be the next hill we cross. It may be the next curve that we go around. Amen. Jesus could very well come. He is coming. Thank God. Amen. That, by the way, is the goal we need to keep our sights set on. Amen. That is the goal to keep our sights set on. Keep our eyes on Jesus. We can't expect to enjoy much peace in this fallen world. Amen. We can't expect to have a whole lot of contentment down here because this world's not our home. Amen. We can't expect our happiness to be here in this life. Amen. Why? Because our real life is just up ahead. When Jesus comes and we'll be with Him and we'll be like Him, praise God, then we'll have the peace and the contentment and the happiness that some have looked for down here and never found. Amen. When we are with our beloved, then we can have that peace and genuine contentment and eternal happiness. Now, although our hearts and our thoughts may be there already, our feet are still in this fallen world. So he goes on to verse 38 and 39. I want you to notice the first word, the word now. All right, we're looking forward to then. But we need some patience As Ziggy said in the little cartoon, Lord, I need patience and I need it now. Amen. Well, that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. We need patience now. We've got to live in this world now. And so now we've got to have that patience. But look what he said, verse 38 again. Now the just shall live by faith. If you'd allow me to turn them words around, the just shall live by faith now. Not just we're going to live by faith in glory, we're going to live by faith now. And we need now faith. Amen. Amen. We need some faith that works in this present world. Hebrews 11 verse 1, if you want to just jump down a couple of verses. Now faith, right now, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Well, we talk about the faith of those going on. We talk about faith in the future. But again, what we need is some now faith. That's what he's dealing with. Now we need faith. That's what's needed so much right now. By the way, we need to have faith in order to live in eternity. But we need to have faith in order to live and please God now. Amen. That's what patience is. Patience is now faith. Patience is faith that can believe that the reward is just ahead, although we can't see it, and we've been searching for it for a long time. Though it seems that we've been on this journey a long, long time. You remember when the disciples were on the ship, and they got in the storm, and they called out to the Lord. There, of course, there's two occasions. One is in the hinder part of the ship, and that's the one I'm talking about now. They went and woke the Lord, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what he said to them, O ye of little faith. Why did he say that? Because they just saw all the miraculous things of God, and he told them, get in the boat, let's go over to the other side. When he said, let's go over to the other side, that means we're going to get there. Storm or no storm. Ship full of water or no water in the ship. We're going to get there to the other side. Amen. He had told them that, and they should have had confidence in what he said. But they didn't have confidence. They woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? But here's the blessing. He reproved them a little bit there by saying, oh, ye of little faith. But then he got up and rebuked the storm, and the wind settled down, the waves settled down, thank God. And they got over to the other side. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. We're in this life, and it may seem like there's a lot of storms that come your way. It probably does. It will. If you haven't faced storms, you will.
Right.
Amen. You may feel like, buddy, I'm on top of it all. I'm healthy, and I'm strapping, and I'm strong, but you just hang on. If you live long enough, you'll have failures. Amen. You'll have aches and pains that you just thought people was complaining about and you didn't know anything about it. Amen. But the truth is, how do we please God? We please God by going on in spite of those storms and struggles that we find ourselves in.
Right.
And not only going on in spite of it, but refusing, that's a better word, refusing to complain about it. Just believe in God. Trust in God. That don't mean that you can't say anything about it. But I'm talking about, you know how we are sometimes. We want to complain. Amen. We want to take our thumb and stick it in our mouth. And we want everybody to see us and say, oh, there ain't nobody got troubles like I've got. Truth is, you go to the nursing home, you'll find somebody else in a lot worse shape than you are. You go a lot of places and find people in a lot worse shape than you are. Amen. Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we're going to please God now, and you know how you please God, without faith, verse 6 in chapter 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, if we're going to please God now, we're not just going to have faith in the future or had faith in the past. We got to have some faith now. If we're going to please Him. Now, look back at verse number 38, the last phrase. You talk about the just living by faith right now. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. I don't believe that's the apostle saying that. I believe that's the Holy Ghost saying God is not pleased when people don't have faith. And when they don't have faith, it is evidenced by the fact that they don't have patience.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you got real faith, you'll be enabled to have a little more patience. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse number 39. I'm about done. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now he's talking to people who's already saved. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I'm not writing this. And John did the same thing in 1 John. He said, I'm not writing this because I believe that you're a failure and that you won't make it. He said, I'm writing this to tell you I do believe in you. And I do believe you're going to make it because I believe you've got what I've got. And this faith that we've got is an enduring faith. Amen. It is a persevering faith. That's what the old timers talked about. But it's not that we are doing the persevering. It's that He is persevering. It is not the perseverance of the faithful, but it is the perseverance, well, of, I'd say the people, but the perseverance of Him that is faithful. Amen. He's faithful that has called us. Amen. He that which hath, in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now here's my question. I'm done. Have you ever had a starting point? We can talk about running this race with patience, but you've got to have a starting point. Somewhere you had to get started for God. Now, it wasn't you doing it. If you got a starting point, it was the fact that God brought you to a place that you realized you was lost, you repented of your sin, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He made a new creature out of you. Just that simple. If you've got that starting point, now the job is keep looking at the finish line, but we ain't there yet. Our job is to run this race. And how are we going to run it? With patience. That's what he said. With patience. You have need of patience. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as they come with a song and we get ready for an invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for preaching these truths to me. Lord, help me not only to try to exhibit it so others can see it, but help me to actually have and maintain an enduring confidence, a patient faith that I can wait, and I can wait on God, that I can wait without chafing, that I can wait without complaining, that I can even be provoked without being annoyed. Because I've got confidence that my God's on the throne, that what I've got is real, that salvation resides in my soul, that I'm not going to turn back, but I've believed to the saving of the soul. Father, I pray, move in this invitation time according to thy will. If there be some that need to get started, Lord, bring them to that starting point. Father, I pray for those that are in this race. Help us, dear God, have that patience. And bring you the glory you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we stand and sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come to this altar. Altar's open. You can come.